If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. And this morning, I want to talk about faith. And we're going to be looking at several passages, but we're going to be parked in Acts chapter 3. And I want to give you just a summary, and then we'll read starting about verse 16. So, Jesus has risen from the dead, he's ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit has come down in Acts chapter 2. And the disciples are preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, they are still in Jerusalem, which is a kind of an interesting thought because Jesus said, I want you to go in Jerusalem, I want you to go to Judea, I want you to go to Samaria, I want you to go to the ends of the earth. They never heard, once he said Jerusalem, they never heard anything after that. So they're still in Jerusalem. It's kind of like church. And so, so they're going to the temple at prayer times, and the temple had seven prayer times a day. And so, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, there's a man there who's been crippled since birth, who's at the gate Beautiful. And it says that every day since he'd been born, they'd taken him to this place so he could beg for money. Which is very interesting because if he'd been there every day since his birth, that means Jesus would have passed him several times. Are you with me? So why didn't Jesus heal him? Well, we're not going to talk about that. That's another message, another Sunday, okay? So he's at the gate Beautiful, and Peter and John come in, and when he sees, when the crippled man sees Peter and John, he knows they got something. So he starts begging loud for to them, and it's a great story. Then I'll look at verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have. What I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So this is a wonderful miracle. Then the religious leaders get involved, and they say, you know, they have a couple of questions, and first of all, they're like, Peter and John, who are these guys? And one of them says, well, they're just poor fishermen from Galilee. Well, how'd this happen? And so they start questioning the man who was healed. Everyone knew the man who was crippled. They knew, and they saw this was a miracle from God, but they want to know how this happened. So if you turn your page, at least in my Bible, it's a turn of a page, verse 16, Peter is talking to the Sanhedrin, but he's pretty harsh with them. He says earlier, before this, he says, you are the ones who killed this Jesus. You killed the author of life. You disowned him. You punished him. You rejected him. I mean, Peter doesn't mince any words. And so he's telling the religious leaders that it is their fault that they rejected Jesus. And then Peter says, we are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing in him, as you can all see. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is about faith. I want to talk about three types of faith. I want to talk about individual faith, we're going to talk about corporate faith, we're going to talk about the communion of faith. So when Peter and John go up to the temple Beautiful, they have faith. And this is what the crippled man sees. He knows they have something. Why would he start begging if he didn't know? He thought maybe they were men of wealth. But that's not, they had wealth, but not the kind of wealth that you and I are thinking of. They had faith. When you have an individual faith, people will see this. They will see it. When you walk into a room, the room will change. You walk down the road will change. Wherever you go, whatever you do, it will change because the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is in you, and you have faith, and your individual faith will change every situation. Now here's a caveat. You have to grab a hold of this faith. When Jesus came preaching the kingdom, he said, the kingdom of God is near you. In order to get this kingdom, you have to repent and you have to believe. Now, in the Bible, the word for faith is pistis. That's the noun, pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. That's the noun. In the verb is pistio. You must repent and pistio. You must repent and believe. You must repent and grab on to God. You must have a faith that's active, that's moving, that really trusts in God. That's the only way you get the kingdom. You don't have a faith by holding on to your spouse's faith. You don't have faith by holding on to your grandparents' faith or your parents' faith or your children's faith. You have to make it your faith. It has to be firsthand. Peter and John had firsthand faith. When they were walking up to the temple courts, they believed it was their faith. It was their individual faith. And that's what changed the situation. That's what the beggar saw. That's what he sensed. That these two men were different. Yes, they were different because they're men of faith. They had an individual faith. You have to have an individual faith. No one else can make that decision for you. You can't force faith on people. And when we try to do that, we end up with really... There's some interesting words we could use, but I won't give you all of them. But one of them is called dogmatics. When you try to force a faith on someone, all they end up doing is just memorizing a program of words or of principles. Have you ever run across any Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses? Okay, they don't have a living faith. They have a program. And it's very easy to throw them off their program. One time I boarded a plane in Los Angeles flying to Hong Kong, and there were four Mormon missionaries, they started, as soon as the plane got up and they said you can move around, you know, these four Mormon missionaries jumped over and started talking to this Chinese gal and had her cornered, and I'm like, they're not going to do this on my airplane. So I got up and I engaged them for 5 hours until every one of them dropped out and went took a nap. I wore them out. You want to know why? Because they had a program. All I had to do was go back to Scripture. They don't know Scripture. They don't know the power of God. They don't have faith in God. They have a dogmatic system. All they have is a program. And listen, if you're a person of faith, you are advanced already. Just taking that one step and making that individual claim of your own, that advances you. And it, you have the kingdom of God inside you. I've told you the story about the Jehovah's Witnesses in Pittsburgh, right? Adam knows the story. So my wife and I were teaching. We were going around the United States teaching. And we were at Pittsburgh. We were staying in this house. And we were watching TV. I think we were watching Oprah. Anyway, there was a knock at the door. So I went over and I opened the door. And it had a screen there. And there were two gals there. And they said, good morning. They said, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. So my response was, well, I'm Jehovah's Witness. And then went, which kingdom hall do you go to? I said, the kingdom of God is not in a hall. It's in me. I'm going to pray that the demons have blinded you, that Jesus Christ will make you see the truth. And they started walking away. That's rude. I was praying. So I opened the screen door and I started walking after them praying louder. Because I want to make sure they heard the words of my prayer. And of course, my wife was terribly embarrassed, and she comes to the door because they're running by the time my wife gets to the door. And I'm not running, but I mean, the neighborhood's hearing my prayer. And my wife says in the door, honey, don't chase the Jehovah's Witnesses. Why not? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you have an individual faith, make it your own. Grab a hold of God with both hands and don't let go. So when Peter and John go up to the temple courts, they have individual faith. That's what the crippled man sensed. Now, something happens. As they engage, that individual faith now becomes a corporate faith. Because the man at the temple courts, it kind of rubbed off on him. And that's what will happen with your faith. You know, we in America, we use words like private faith, which is, you know, people say, well, faith is a private matter. That's not the best word, because if you have faith, it will never be private. Now, you're not going to be obnoxious. Don't be one of those obnoxious Christians, because I'll slap you silly. But your faith will never make you, it's never a private thing. And there's going to be times when your faith is very public. And when Peter speaks to the man and says, I don't have silver or gold, which may or may not have been true. He says, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. There's a corporate nature of the faith going on. Peter extends not just his hand, but extends his faith. Do you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15? It says if you have one parent that has faith, that they can extend that faith to their children and their children will be sanctified. That's what it says. Go read 1 Corinthians 15. Do you understand? Sorry, 1 Corinthians 7, around the end of chapter 7. So, a lot of us don't realize the power we have in our individual faith and how it can impact other people, corporate faith. And so Peter reaches out, tells the man, be healed, helps him up, and then he says in verse 16 of Acts 3, he says, we are witnesses to this. This faith that we have now became the faith of the crippled man, and it's the faith that healed him completely. We get a little jittery when we talk about corporate faith, because most of us feel like we don't want people to reject our faith. But the truth is, most people in the world are looking for faith. And they're looking for real Christians. They're looking for genuine, authentic Christians. And what's very interesting is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people want to make God in their own image, which is very dangerous. And you have a lot of churches dabbling with this kind of stuff. That God is now in the image of what they see Him as. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one true God. And we believe in Him. And people are looking. You know, church is funny. Used to be, I've been a pastor for 30 years. I remember when we were told to make church look less like church. Do you remember this, Pastor Adam? Yeah, don't pray. Don't take up offerings. You know, there are still churches around today that do this kind of stuff. Listen, if an unbeliever walks in and we're not acting like church, what are they going to think? It's not church. Even the world knows that Christians do some peculiar things. We sing. We pray. We give money. And if we don't do that, they're going to think, what kind of lousy church is this? We even had a phrase for it. We called it seeker friendly. You know, let me just give you advice. If someone is looking for a church, they're not looking for seeker friendly. Are you with me? What are they looking for? The power of God. If someone's desperate enough and gets up on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and goes looking for a church, they're not looking for a watered-down version of church. You know what they want? They want the real thing. So let's give them the real thing. Let's have a corporate faith. And that's what Peter did. He extended his hand and he extended his individual faith to the crippled man, and the crippled man was healed. So we have individual faith, we have corporate faith, we have one more I want to talk about, and that's the community of faith. Now this phrase you find in a couple places, but the best one is in Philemon verse 6. You also find it in Philippians and in 1 Corinthians. It's two Greek words put together. It's pistis and it's koinonia. You guys have heard of koinonia, right? What's koinonia mean? Koinonia means fellowship or community or common. When you study biblical languages, you study classical Greek, but if you study Koinonia Greek, that's a common Greek. That's a Greek that the people speak, not that they use in the writing. So Koinonia is a common. It's the fellowship. It's the gathering. And in Philemon, Paul says, I want you to be active in your pistis koinonia. I want you to be active in your faith community. I want you to be active in your fellowship of faith. We all need a community of faith. Here's why. Number one reason. We need to encourage each other. And when we come together as a community of faith, we can encourage one another. We can comfort one another. We can strengthen one another. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. When we are gathered together and we hear the Word of God, our faith increases. We need that community of faith. There's two ways you can lose your faith. Now you know I'm not Baptist. Okay, number one, to every person, it says in Romans 10:17, to every person, God has given a measure of faith. That is good news. Every person gets a measure of faith. Here's the thing. You have to use it or you will lose it. You don't use your faith, you lose it. That's the first way you can miss out on this journey of faith. If you don't engage, if you don't make it your own, if you don't make it your individual faith, you can lose it. The second way is if you drop out of the community of faith. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. If you have faith, it means that someone, somewhere, has extended faith to you. It also means that somewhere, you will extend your faith to someone else. So automatically, you're going to, as a person of faith, you're going to be creating other communities of faith. You're going to be active in sharing your faith. This summer, I was up in Michigan preaching at a camp meeting out in the middle of the woods. And one pastor, I called for directions. I'm going to tell you exactly what he told me. He said, well, drive on Highway 59 till you see a bunch of trees on the east side of the road, then turn. I'm in Michigan. There's a bunch of trees where? Everywhere. Anyway, I got to the campground, and it was a pretty good camp. A little primitive. And one morning I went to breakfast and the bacon, someone had, they didn't just barbecue that pig, they nuked it. And so the bacon was just hard. And so I took a piece of bacon and I bit down and it broke my bridge. And so out comes a couple of teeth, right? And so I was teaching the Bible study in the morning and preaching at night. So in the morning I went and I had my daughter with me and she says, this is what she says. She looks at me and she goes, Dad, you look like a street person. So I went to the Bible study, missing a couple of front teeth, and I taught the Bible study, but it felt very, you know, this is only certain age levels will appreciate this, but you know, your dentures, your teeth are gone, air goes wherever it wants. So I remember saying, this is Fuddle. I was like, what was that? And so I was kind of hoping that the pastors would know of a dentist, and so they gave me some names. And every day they gave me, I called a couple of them, and they were all out of town. And then one pastor gave me this name, and it was a 5-hour drive. I'm like, I might as well just go back to Oklahoma and get it done. So then I did what every good 21st century American would do: pulled out my phone and I Googled dentist near me. And it came up, there was a dentist 3 miles away in this small rural town of Cass City. And so Cass, C-A-S-S, break, city. And so I called and I was so impressed. The dentist got on the phone and started asking me questions. And I explained to him, he said, well, look, just get over here now. He goes, I'll get you in the chair and we'll look at it. And if I can fix it, we'll fix it. If not, we'll do something. I said, okay. I was so impressed the dentist, because everyone else I talked to was a secretary or administrator. So I got in the car, drove there. I got there. I sit in the chair. He says, we can fix this. And then I don't know what happened, but we just started sharing, right? And so he and I were classmates at Oral Roberts University in the 1980s. Yeah. I'm in the dental chair thinking, how much is it going to cost me? Then all of a sudden I realized we're classmates. I said, so do I get the family discount? He says, oh yeah. And so I walked out of there with my money. But see, I only shared because the reason I didn't have to pay so much is because I was in a community already with this dentist. And sometimes we limit our sharing because we don't want to, this doesn't make sense to me, but hear me. We don't want to extend the community of faith. Why do we not want to extend the community of faith? Why do we want to limit what God can do? I don't know. I don't know if we're just self-centered or if we're just not sure or if we're full of fear, but we limit what God can do. But when you're in a community of faith, what you want to do is extend that community of faith. You want to grow that community of faith. Why? Because it not only helps others come in and builds them up, but builds you up as well. So I want you to have individual faith. I want you to have a corporate faith. And I want you to have a community of faith. Church can be a lot of things. But make sure church is always about Jesus Christ and about the faith we have in Jesus Christ. I'm teaching at church on Wednesday nights. I have been for the last 5 or 6 years. And they're changing Wednesday nights. So instead of having a worship service, which we usually have about 150 people, they're going to have the worship service, but now they're going to have a Bible study, which is fine. I'm in favor of that. Then they're going to have an arts and crafts time for the adults, which, let me translate that for you. That's called gossip time. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you all been to that arts and crafts thing too, right? And then they're going to have welcome to Shawnee, and they're going to bring in Shawnee personalities. I don't know how many Shawnee personalities there are. Can't be that many, right? We're not that big. And so each week there'll be a Shawnee personality who comes in and talks about the city. Now, I'm not opposed to arts and crafts. Don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to, maybe I am, opposed to Shawnee personalities. But that's not church. It's not about individual faith or corporate faith or the community of faith. And when church starts doing things like that, we lose out on our faith. You have a great name, Prayer of Faith. Which comes from where? Timothy, good guess, no. James, when you pray the prayer of faith, pray and believe, and the person will be healed. The sick person will be made well. It talks about when someone is sick, they should come to the elders of the church, and the elders of the church should anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And when they pray the prayer of faith, the sick person shall be well. That's where your name comes from. You have a great name. You should, if I may be so bold to the pastors in the room, which there are several, I think you should start considering having at least once a month a healing service on a Sunday night. I mean, with a name like Prayer of Faith, what are we doing? I even talked to United Methodist Church into having a prayer service on the fifth Sunday of every month, or the months with the five Sundays. And they said it's a good idea. And the first one we had about 80 people show up, and the pastor about cardiac. Like, whoa. Like, dude, what do you think we're here for? So why not? You got a great name, use it. Now, you understand that you start a prayer healing ministry, things can get a little wild. First of all, you're going to pray for people and nothing's going to happen. Why? Because you need practice. Some of you pray like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act. Oh, Lord my God, how great thou art. God bless America, land of the free, home of the brave. Go get 'em, Packers. Have you seen Sister Act? She's a nun, but she's not a nun. She's a lounge singer. Some of you can't, you haven't practiced praying for people. And you know, John Wimber, the person who founded, the gentleman who founded the Vineyard Church, has said when they started their healing ministry, you know how they started their healing ministry? Someone showed up to church and Wimber was preaching, and this guy came to church, and he came like three or four Sundays and sat up in the front, and finally on like the fourth Sunday he went to Wimber and he said, "When are we going to get to the good stuff?" Wimber's like, "I'm preaching my heart out for, what do you mean the good stuff?" He goes, "You know, when people get up, they're healed, and they get up and walk, and they jump, and they praise God, and blind eyes are opened, and when we get to the good stuff." And Wimber's like, "Oh, yeah." And so Wimber said, Wimber is a great theologian. He died a few years ago. He was a great theologian. And so he said they started praying for people, sick people, and they got sicker. And they sent more of their sick people to the hospital. So then they had to go to the hospital. If you're going to have a healing ministry, go to where they need you, right? And it's not just the pastors who need to be in this ministry. If you're going to be called prayer of faith, then all of us need to take that mantle on and be men and women of faith and pray that prayer of faith. Are you with me? So get some dates on the calendar. Get yourself, I would go out and buy the olive oil by the gallons. And then be prepared to see the power of God at work. When's the last time you saw someone in church jumping up and praising and running around? Not because of praise and worship. You guys got backwards. Praise and worship is just so that you can focus your emotions on God. The crippled man was jumping up and down. Why? He was healed. He could do something he couldn't do before. All of you could come into the sanctuary this morning and run around hooping and hollering. But you didn't. The crippled man was jumping and running and praising God because he couldn't before. He never had done it before. Never. Nunca. Never had done it before. And now his ankles were strong, his legs were strong, and now he could do it. So I want you to have an individual faith. I want you to have a corporate faith. I want you to have a community faith. I want you to live up to your name. Sorry, this message is 5 years in coming. So we're going to have a time for prayer. Now there is in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about a gift of faith. This is not that's a different type of faith. A gift of faith God gives when you need for a special moment. Okay, we're not praying for gifts of faith. What we are is we're praying for your faith, that your faith will increase. And more than that, your faith will increase and it will overflow. So this morning, the first invitation is this. How many of you need to have your faith increase? Okay, just stand where you are. I want to pray for you. You get the easiest one. Just stand where you are. And why am I having you stand? It's simple. It's an act of faith. I've just activated your faith. It's one thing to raise your hands, another thing to stand up. And now you're activating. Now you got other people saying, "Well, shoot, if they're going to get it, I want some too." It works like that. See, your faith is already made corporate. This whole section over here just felt either guilty or really envious. And by the way, I just want to point out, Pastor Adam, when you said good morning, it was this section, they were going nuts. Yeah. Yeah, you got some radicals over here. Maybe fanatics, but... All right, so you've activated your faith. You stood up. Now, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Okay. Lord Jesus, increase my faith. Make me a person of faith. Help me to grab a hold of all your promises. Help me to be strong in your grace. Let me live like I believe. May the kingdom of God be in me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the next invitation is for those of you who are a little hesitant about public displays of faith, corporate faith. Now, we just had it. We just had a corporate faith experience. So most of you are, you're still, none of you are hyperventilating. Maybe Pastor Adam is, but the rest of you are okay. So how many of you, though, you're just a little hesitant that like when you go to work or school and you just don't want anyone to, you're like, your prayers, please God, let no one bother me about my faith today and I'll make it. I mean, has anyone ever prayed that prayer? Anyone ever felt like that? Just help me get through the day without having to share my faith. Is anyone here hesitant about your sharing your faith? I don't want to use the words. I will use a word. How many of you are just a little afraid to share your faith? Either afraid of rejection or afraid of failure or afraid of punishment. Thank you. I didn't ask you to stand. Look, this woman's going to get blessed because she's already activating her faith. Anyone else? Here's what, before the rest of you stand, here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, number one, that the love of God overflows in you. Number two, that you are bold. With a holy boldness. So does anyone else want that? See what you did? You were afraid and your faith is already touched. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I can't even count that high. Ran out of toes. Andrew, how many was that? How many? Nineteen? Can I have 20? Can one more person stand up so we make it? It's easier. Just tell. There we go. 20. Father, what's your name?
Twyla.
Father, thank you for Twyla and her courage, and Father, for her desire to share her faith, and Father, how her actions today have affected 20 others. I pray, Lord, that everyone in this room will be filled with your love. And Father, your love will cast out all fear. And your love, Lord, will just work in us in ways that we don't understand, but that we appreciate and that we need. And Father, I pray that everyone standing will have a holy boldness. That, Lord, we will go and we will share our faith. We will have a corporate faith. We will have a public faith. Lord, we'll not be afraid to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Father, every knee will bow one day and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But Lord, we will do it and we will do it with gladness and we will do it with great joy. And Father, give us boldness. And Father, whether it's at work or at school or at home or Father, even when we go out to eat, Father, I pray that we will have this love that just surrounds us. And Father, inside of us, we will have this sense of boldness. In the name of Jesus Christ and the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Okay, one more. Now, if you're a pastor, you're forbidden to stand. So, if you would like to help prayer of faith in a healing service, And Pastor Adam's going to take names, everyone who's standing. If you would like to help in doing a healing service so that your community of faith can increase, I want you to stand. Pastor Eric, Pastor Adam, you get names? Okay. You want me to take a picture? Father, I pray that we would live up to our name here, that we would be men and women of faith praying by faith. And Father, I pray that as this church becomes a healing center for the nations, Lord, that you will activate every person who's standing, Lord, that we can do our part to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that people will be saved, that people will be delivered, that people will be healed, that people will be sanctified. They'll be healed physically, emotionally, mentally. Father, they'll be healed financially. Father, we pray that we will see broken things brought back together. Father, we would see things that were torn apart being mended. Father, we would see with our eyes the goodness and the grace of our God in the land of the living. We'd see with our eyes the goodness of our God in this place. Prayer of Faith Church. And Father, I pray that you just bring them in. Father, bring them in by the carloads and the busloads and the truckloads. And Father, we don't care where they come from. We don't care how they smell. We don't care if they have money or not. We don't care about any of those things. We only want to be a place where people can find Jesus Christ, where as a community of faith, we can increase that community and we can be a pistis koinonia. We can share our faith and that faith will change people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Bless all those who are standing now. Father, just cement the calling of God in their lives to do what you've called them to do. And Father, even today, may they start to pray for people to be healed, to be touched, to be changed, to be transformed. Father, may they, in their lives, be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6, which God told Moses to give to the people of Israel. Moses raised his hands up, and the people of Israel raised their hands forward to receive it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.